God, our Savior, as we hear your word, send your Holy Spirit to be our teacher of faith and truth, and show us how we are called to live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please join with me in the gospel reading, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 27. On the Pew Bible, it's page 1642. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We'll continue in the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, but if you've got your Bibles open, it'll be pretty close. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked on as if he were going on. He walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together and saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Whenever I read this passage of scripture, it always strikes me, the disciples, how sad they are, how full of grief. They had just had all their hopes about Jesus dashed. because their hopes did not include Jesus dying, right? And yet, even though they're so sad, so full of grief, they insist that this stranger who's walking alongside of them will stay with them. They could have been wrapped up in their own worries, their concerns, and yet they reach out to that vulnerable traveler who was walking as if he was going to go on, even though night was coming. Instead, they urge him strongly to stay. And it's because they reached out. It's because they offered hospitality. It's because they invite the stranger in that they realize they're eating with Jesus. He blesses the bread and breaks it, and they realize it's Jesus. Now, maybe I'm pushing the point just a little bit, but it seems this story is indicating that offering hospitality is one key for us to see Jesus. The disciples are sad, they're walking, they're talking with Jesus. Jesus is right there with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And yet, when they reach out in hospitality, when they urge him strongly to come in and eat, this is when they realize it had been Jesus the whole time. So it makes me wonder, what kind of blessing might we receive by welcoming strangers in our midst? Now, I have kind of a goofy example for you. But Gray and I were watching Sister Act the other night. In Gray's word, he wanted to see if the movie held up. He wanted to know if it was still as good as he remembered when he watched it so many years ago. The fashion, you can definitely tell the era of the movie, but there are some good moments. Now, in case you haven't seen Sister Act, or if you've forgotten it, because it did come out in the early 90s, Whoopi Goldberg is the lead character. She's a casino singer, and her character witnesses a crime from a gangster, and so the police have to hide her, and they hide her in a convent. Now, Mother Superior is not very happy with this arrangement. Whoopi, in this case, is the stranger. She doesn't act the way Mother Superior thinks she should act, and she doesn't look the way Mother Superior thinks she should look. And quite honestly, she is going to disturb the way of life of the nuns because she doesn't play by their rules. But as it turns out, welcoming Whoopi, her name at the convent becomes Sister Mary Clarence, she ends up sharing her gifts with the community. Yes, she breaks the rules, she causes trouble, but she also teaches the choir how to sing, which they needed because they start out, they go from pathetic I'm not going to make you listen to the horror of the whole thing. But with Whoopi's help, they go from pathetic to glorious.
Hail, Mother of Mercy and of
definitely an improvement, we can all agree. Just a week of practice and Whoopi brings out the best of each singer. She helps them blend their tone. She encourages them to sing to give glory to God. And then she takes it one step further. She adds her gift, her flair. The neighborhood hears, they're impressed with the music, they're coming in. It ends up that all these neighborhood teens, these kids who look like punks, are inside the church. This is the first step, right, for this church to just become transformed. But Mother Superior is not happy with the change. She tells Whoopi she needs to get out of the choir. Her time there is up, right? She does not like these shenanigans. She does not think that this is holy worship. But as people are drawn into this new style of worship, if this isn't a demonstration of Jesus showing up, I don't know what is. Now, Whoopi ends up becoming more and more part of the convent community. The choir really starts to thrive. In fact, by the end of the movie, the Pope is coming to hear them sing, right? But also, because Whoopi is an outsider, she hasn't been cloistered away in the convent. She has these ideas that they should go out into the neighborhood. Now, Mother Superior thinks that this is far too risky, it's far too dangerous, and yet, Whoopi gets her way. They go out, they start meeting the people, they clean up the neighborhood, they change the graffiti into these beautiful murals, they end up opening a playground and then a school for the kids who are in the neighborhood. The whole church, the whole neighborhood is revitalized because Whoopi was welcomed in, Sister Mary Clarence was welcomed in, and then she helped the nuns to welcome in the neighborhood. Each used their gifts together to create something that was bigger than the whole. Now, obviously, we are not going to experience the same kind of movie plot line. We don't get the quick turnaround in an hour and a half, where everything is changed and resolved by the end of the movie. But I want to suggest today that the story of Emmaus, of the disciples walking along the road, it encourages us too to reach out to the stranger. Because we might have our eyes opened when we do this, and realize that Jesus is there. Jesus is in our neighborhood. Jesus is in our workplace. Jesus is in our home. And as we interact with people, Jesus becomes more visible, right? Jesus is with us, but through our actions, Jesus can become more visible. Now, I remember a story from this church for food distribution, and we had these lemons, and so we made lemonade, right? And we served our guests. This might be a way that our eyes become open and we see Jesus. Maybe it's taking time to talk to a coworker or to a friend or a neighbor who's having a rough time, and to sit and to listen to them and to be present to them. And by us being present, perhaps Jesus Jesus is there, right? Jesus is there. But our action helps those others to see Jesus there. Now, when we think of holy moments where Jesus is with us, one of the things that comes to my mind is communion, right? The sacrament of communion is where we meet Jesus at the table. He shows up in the bread and in the wine. He shows up in the church and in our presence. But today's scripture reading indicates that Jesus is also showing up in the mundane, in the everyday moments. We don't have to be at church on a Sunday morning to see Jesus. We see Jesus in our world, in our neighborhood, in our day-to-day interactions. Now, at the Last Supper, Jesus tells us, right, to remember him every time we eat the bread and we drink the cup. And so we think of communion. But when we heard the story of Emmaus, when Jesus is eating with Cleopas and Cleopas's companion, who was probably his wife, the language that we hear in this story is supposed to sound familiar. When Jesus was at the table, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Have you heard these words at church? These words are supposed to take us back to Maundy Thursday, to the Last Supper, to the day before Jesus was crucified. You can go to Luke 22:19 if you want to fact check me. He took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, right? So Jesus is present in communion, but from this Emmaus story, we're supposed to think of Jesus beyond just the holy moment at church. Whenever we eat, whenever we drink, at each meal, whenever we share food with the hungry or drink with the thirsty, Jesus says he is there. We know Jesus is with us always, but we need reminders. And it's in acts of compassion, of sharing, of extending ourselves to people who might seem strange or other or simply unknown to us. In these moments, maybe our eyes will be opened so we can recognize Jesus, who was always there with us. And in these moments where our eyes are opened, it's often just a glimpse, it's often a flash. I've always found it curious that the disciples' eyes are opened and then he disappears from their sight. But isn't that the way it is? We see these glimpses of Jesus and then we say, oh yeah, and remember that other time? And the other time and the thing when that happened and when I was having this conversation? It felt holy, it felt as if God was with us. Now, we aren't having communion today. I've got a few people nervous who said, were we supposed to set up? We're not having communion today, but I want to share some bread with you to remind you that each time we eat, each time we offer hospitality, compassion, concern, each time we care for others, Christ is with us. We partake of communion, we are joined with Christ and with one another, but so too are we united with Christ when we offer ourselves in hospitality, when we share with one another, when we give of ourselves, when we open ourselves to others. Now, what I learned from the movie Sister Act is that even when we are reluctant, Mother Superior, and we offer our hospitality grudgingly, we can still find blessing. By the end of the movie, she recognized that she had been blessed, that she needed Whoopi to be there. But when we offer ourselves with open hearts, like the singers in the choir did, we receive an even bigger gift. We experience the joy of having the best of us brought forth as an offering to God. Now, I'll warn you, it gets messy. It disrupts our status quo. Yes, it can be dangerous or risky at times. Yet as we offer grace, as we share with others, as we accept the stranger as they are and welcome them, Jesus opens our eyes and we recognize him. Jesus, the one who has been walking with us all along. Jesus, the one who's on the road with us, giving us new life and hope. Amen.